The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. We are going to be discussing some really interesting things today in the area of business growth. Last show, you may recall we had a great guest, Scott Chabot of SAS Digital, and he gave some really solid ideas for social media campaigns and some great ideas in terms of marketing. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that show, I highly recommend you do. He mentioned a couple things, and they're a great springboard for some of the things we're talking about today in terms of business growth, in terms of expansion, in terms of revisiting your marketing. And, you know, I am such a strong advocate of continually looking at where you are and where you want to be and how you're leveraging what you have in place and where you may have things in place that were put in place with a different budget, a different technology, maybe a different dynamic in terms of who your target market it was when your cash flow was a bit different. And now you've kind of don't even realize it, but it's costing you money. It's costing you money in potential growth, expansion, profits. Now, some of you are nodding because you know this is the case and you're just saying to yourselves, you know, we are running on all cylinders. And while this sounds all well and good, it's such a luxury to step back and revisit all these things, or who has the time, or who has the employees, or I'm saturated, who, you know, especially if we're talking small to mid-sized businesses. So where do you create the space to carve out executive thinking time working on your business? And there might be places where you really do work on your business. You know you do. I know that I do. And I also know that there's places where I don't work on my business. I have other people in the company work with me to work on the business, or I hold them accountable. I'm responsible, but they're accountable for those pieces. Ultimately, I'm responsible. Why? Because as head of the company, I'm responsible for the business success, right? The buck stops here, so to speak. The yen, the pound, the whatever it is, it stops here, the euro. And we're going to just point to some places today and some opportunities that you may be aware of, you may not be taking advantage of. Part of it might even be you don't even know where to begin. Or you know where to begin, but nothing has intervened. You know, there's some inertia in that area. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest until acted upon by an outside force. That's the law of physics in terms of inertia. Well, perhaps today, Jen Sabin, moving forward, we're that outside force. We're the piece that takes that thing that you've been considering or looking at it and starts to put it into a different dynamic of action, right? Or puts it into a different place in terms of dialogue. Circling back to Scott. So he told the story, and this is really interesting, and see where you or your business fit in here, all right? Great stuff. He was telling the story of an attorney, lawyer, barrister, depending upon where you're from, and literally top of their field. So this isn't someone who's starting out and just growing and expanding or is looking to hang their shingle. This person is high reputation in terms of the area of law that they practice in, you know, top of their game. And years ago, they went to Scott and said, I need a website. Why? Because the Florida Bar mandated that they had to have a website or whatever the particulars were that had this person say, this attorney say, I need a website. He said, I just want a basic thing, you know, a bio page, just, you know, no bells and whistles, just basic thing. Well, what was interesting is because this person gets a lot of referrals. This attorney gets a lot of the referrals. Why? Top of your game. Makes sense. Great reputation. Makes sense. He came back to Scott recently and said that he needed to build out a website. Why? Because here's who he is. Here's who he is in his field. Top game, top of his field. Great reputation. Lots of referrals. But the referrals that were stopping at the website and looking at it didn't necessarily follow through in hiring him because there was such an incongruity between the attorney, the reputation, and the website. Now, for some of you who are listening are going branding, right? Branding, that consistent experience of someone. You know, once upon a time, you could kind of, quote unquote, get away with this stuff. But what this person realized was it was costing them business because they would look at that website and they would say, maybe not. Because it was inconsistent with the rest of the brand. And the reality is, so many of us, what do? When we hear about something, a product or service, we Google it and we go to a website. And one of the things that Scott said that was so brilliant. So I, again, circle back. And if you could listen to the interview with Scott Chabot, highly recommend it. He mentioned in terms of who are you building your website for? Who are you building your website for? Well, my clients, right, et cetera. And then there's search engine optimization, the whole deal. And for those of you who are not as familiar with search engine optimization based upon your industry practice, et cetera, that is when people go into something like Google, a search engine, a Google, a Bing, or whatever, and they type in the type of product or service they're looking for, or the brand, or your name. You know, what does it draw up? What shows up? Does your company show up? So the first person that Scott mentioned is that a website is designed for Google because Google is the most commonly used search engine, at least in North America. I can't speak for the world, but and specifically in the States. And many of us, we get that intellectually. But we don't necessarily have that be the case. A lot of my clients have great websites. And I actually, after speaking to Scott, I had someone on our team go through the websites and come back and say to me, who do you think they were developed for? And only a couple they felt were developed for search engine optimization. So we circled back. I'm using that term today a lot, aren't I? Circle back. I don't know. Because this is about moving forward, right? So we connected with those clients and we let them know and told them a bit about what Scott had said and hooked them up with the interview. And some of them are taking on some new changes in regards to leveraging what they've already created and crafting to make sure that they're using it in the max for its maximum potential. For its maximum potential. And if you're sitting on the edge of your seat wondering what else he said, he also mentioned that you certainly build it for Google and then first-time customers and then returning customers or clients, whatever you call those who utilize your product or service. So those were a couple things. To be aware of. Now, for those of you who were here listening last week, I don't want to spend too much time here, but it never is a bad thing to revisit or re-listen. Studies typically show that the first time we hear something, we absorb about 18% of it, which is why it's highly suggested that people review things or they listen to them again, or the second time you watch the movie or read the book or the article or study something or listen to a tape, whatever it is, or an MP3 of some sort, or you tend to get more out of it, and it tends to have a little bit more sticky in terms of absorption. Now, there's a couple other things that I want to highlight that Scott had sent out since then, and this has to do with social media, and there are five keys for social media. By the way, after the break, we're going to discuss marketing expansion and doing business with the government. So hang tight, because that's coming around the corner. Yet these were really important, and they're so basic, that's what makes them so important. So the first one around five, you know, dealing with social media is don't be boring. Now, you might be saying, Jen, hello, we're not boring. Be careful of getting into jargon. Many organizations do that. Be real. Keep it to the point. Keep it interesting. You know, there are some people who it's their style. They write lots and lots and lots and lots and lots, and it's their style, and it's like they're talking, and it's great. But are people checking out in the middle? Are you having your style trump getting your message across? And it doesn't mean that you can't do it in your style, but do you have to tweak it? And I have seen that happen. Has anyone in here ever noticed that you start out reading a blog or something of that nature, and then sometimes something happens. All of a sudden, there's a disconnect, and you're no longer engaged. Now, it could be that you're not interested, but it could also be that they've slipped into having it be a to-do. You know, when you think about it, you go to a Broadway show or you go to the theater in London, they get on every time. It's like the first performance. It's coming from a new beginning. It's like opening night, right? It's not like, oh, this is the 100th time we've done this or the 50th time we've done this. So notice if you're interacting with it and you're keeping that level of engagement and energy and enthusiasm as you did when you first started, or whoever's managing that piece for you, to make sure that they're keeping it vital and engaged and interesting and on topic and to the point. You know, who was brilliant at that? I used to get Seth Godin's blogs. And if you're not familiar with his work, I highly, highly recommend that you get some of his work. One of the ones that stands out to me that he wrote, they were like these three sentences, and they were brilliant, gems, on point, interesting, had me curious, had me engaged, thinking of things differently. And one of them, I remember he pointed out how many businesses, and I know I've mentioned this in some of our shows, how many businesses offer incentives for first-time clients but don't acknowledge or reward already existing clients. So the person who comes into the salon is getting this incredible discount or the gift with purses, et cetera. And the person who's been going there for 3 years sitting next to them is not getting that. So notice, what have you done lately for your loyal customers that is not about bringing in new business, but is acknowledging and honoring them as loyal customers, as consumers of your product or service, just because, trust me, it's super strategic. It's super strategic. And at the same time, I promise you, you'll feel really good at the responses you get. I mean, good in terms of they'll feel appreciated, and you'll really get that these are people who are foundational linchpins to your business. And when they tell other people, because they probably will, that actually is a very smart pull towards people looking at your product or service. Okay. The other is, you know, what was put out there is don't come on too strong. You know, cultivate, build the relationship, let people know who you are. Are you being a bull in the china shop? Now, sometimes that's our style. But, you know, selling should be a secondary consideration. Most people, Most people view social media for entertainment and information purposes, not as a shopping dynamic. Doesn't mean that you can't get masterful and be crafted at integrating and weaving in what you're up to. But are you doing it with finesse, or is it really like intrusive and overwhelming? And actually, rather than pulling people in, it's pushing them away. And to remember also to be a good listener. This is a two-way medium. And are you really responding to what people are saying? Are they having the experience of being heard and engaged in, or are you talking at and talking at and talking at and talking at and talking at? And include your community. Highlight them, showcase them in terms of your product or service. Tell those stories. It's not just about you. Tell those stories. We're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we're going to wrap this piece up and then go on to doing business with the government, growing our businesses, when we come back from break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel, or listen on demand to our archived shows.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Everybody needs expert advice when they look to develop their personal brand. Join Rasheryl McCrary for The Leader and the Muse. Rasheryl and her guests will bring you practical tips and tools to help you build your brand in ways that propel you into greater personal and business success. For strategies, stories, and much more, tune in to the Voice America Business Channel every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, for The Leader and the Muse. And get ready to take your brand to the next level.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello, and welcome back. As I mentioned before the break, we are going to spend some time exploring doing business with the U.S. government today, and we're also going to talk about some other marketing components. I know in the first part of today, there was a lot there, right? There was a lot. It was like a Dagwood sandwich. I might be dating myself in saying that. That was like this huge sandwich. It was a cartoon character, Dagwood, and it had everything on it, like you name it, and that kind of sandwich is often referred to as a Dagwood sandwich. And that could be the first segment of this show. Yet there's a couple things I just want to extrapolate in there from that before we move forward, and that is, listen to the interview with Scott Chabot regarding digital marketing, 21st century marketing. And to remember, the purpose of social media is to create more awareness of your company and raising awareness to generate more conversations and sales online and offline. It's marketing and selling. Marketing is raising the awareness, letting people know that you exist. Branding, the consistent experience that people have of your product and your company, you, if you, you know, the whole, in terms of every experience, there's a consistency. And the sale is actually the contract in terms of when money is exchanged for the product or service. Marketing is not sales. Sales, everything in a business, ultimately can be either it's a direct line or a dotted line to sales, meaning cash flow. The definition of business is the sale or purchase of goods and services with an attempt to make a profit. It's about cash flow. And if you're in business, you know this. If one of the things that constantly shows up as a reoccurring theme and something that I'm always speaking to and discussing with our various great guests is keeping an eye on the cash flow. It's kind of like monitoring your blood pressure of a business. Key. If anyone has ever watched Dragon's Den in the UK or Shark Tank in the States, you'll know they're always asking questions about the numbers. What are your sales? What is the cost of client acquisition? What have been your profits? What does it cost to make the product? Very simple, very basic questions, and so often people can't answer them. Why are they interested in that? What has them ask about that before they consider the viability of this as a business that has a large upsize potential? Because that shows kind of the health and well-being of the business. That points to what's working and what's not working. It's a measure, and it's a key one. Social media is an incredible marketing tool. Think about it. You could still reach the same amount of people that somebody who pays how many millions of dollars for how many seconds in the Super Bowl to reach how many millions of people you can reach through social media. It is an investment of time. It does take setting it up. What's so amazing is this isn't something that has to be a high glossy, all T's crossed and I's dotted. A lot of what is just very authentic really, really is showing up as impactful, depending on your product or service. But that authenticity seems to be, you know, the theme. This isn't about high gloss or pretense. So in terms of what I mentioned in the beginning about social media, about your presence on social media, is certainly not to be boring, not to overwhelm and come on too strong, unless it's strategic, to learn to listen. You know, to respond, to have it be not just giving people a way to talk back to you, but really to be able to listen what they say and to not have it be all about you. Include your customers. Showcase them. Share the impact of what your product or service, their experiences. Invite them to chime in. Really, really powerful. And also that authenticity piece. So I just wanted to make sure everyone kind of understood that and was clear on that piece, because it's really potent. Now, there are a lot of different ways to grow our business, a lot of different strategies. You know, there was a diner that during the recession, their business went down 35%. 35%. That's pretty substantive. And so for every $3 they were bringing in, they're bringing in two. Now, actually less than two. So what they did, they tried a lot of different promotions. And what they decided to do, now this is going back some time when the Dow was below 10,000, but they offered free coffee on Mondays until the Dow hit 10,000. Does anyone remember this story? email Jen at jensabin.com if you remember the story about this, because some of you are, I can feel you're nodding your heads in recognition. So what they did was they gave out a free cup of coffee. And the idea was that, you know, people would get something else. Well, they got slammed. And they were doing this until the Dow hit 10,000, and they had big things outside of the Dow Industrial Average and where it was and big red lines and graphs. And it was just really fantastic. They also, you know, revisited their, you know, when they put bread on the table, they noticed that most people weren't eating the bread and you have to throw it out. So they got in the practice of saying, would you like bread with your meal? Not everyone said yes. Cut down on overhead and expenses, you know, in terms of the what they were then grossing and netting per client, you know, customer who ate there. In addition, they noticed that they were ordering, I believe it was 60 pounds of salmon, and they cut it to 30 pounds of salmon because people weren't ordering salmon as much. And they really got efficient. They got efficient, and the campaign they had, while it didn't get turn their business around completely, they were only down 8%. So in other words, you know, they had like a 25% growth, right? If you figure business was down 33% and then it went up to where it was only down 8%, that made a substantive difference, and they didn't have to let anyone go, which was key for the owner. And we've also heard from guests on our show. You may remember Allison, who we spoke to in terms of Fashion Week San Diego, at the founder of Fashion Week San Diego. And when she talked about having to let people go the first time and how hard that was for her and never wanting to have to do that again. And it was a byproduct of an economic tightening, and even though they were pedaling as fast as they can, she didn't have enough in reserves to carry the employees over till things turned around. So, and it was really potent when she shared how she went about it and what she did. So that was when we interviewed Allison in, I believe it was August or September of 2012, Youth Entrepreneurs was the show, the focus of that show. Extraordinary young woman. Extraordinary. So there's different ways, there's different strategies that we could do to grow our business. Sometimes it's because business is atrophying, and sometimes it's just because, you know, we haven't been to a point where things have atrophied, where they're down 20-30% in terms of revenues. However, we can see things are starting to flatline. So we need to do something about it. We need to implement a strategy. One of the things that you may consider, if you haven't, is doing business with the U.S. government. But things are so bad. Things, the economy and the government, and they're not. They still have to purchase goods and services to run. It's like even when corporate was going through tightening, and they cut out a lot of their vendors, they still had to purchase things. They still needed tissue paper for the bathrooms. They still needed cleaning service. They still needed to make sure that the plants were watered. They still needed paper for the and technicians and this and that. And they still had caterers do things. And they still needed logo identified products. It was less, but they were still purchasing. So here's what I want you to know. In the late 90s, my company, no, mid-90s, not late 90s, gosh, it may have been 95, 96, GMG, at that time it wasn't called GMG. I was living in Manhattan on Wall Street. I had the seat on the exchange. I hadn't sold off that part of the business yet. We were doing consulting, just starting to incorporate coaching, and we're still helping businesses grow all over the world and doing a lot of business with people who are starting their own business, early stage business, the same that we do today, you know, and through the Dare to Grow programs. And we looked at doing business with the U.S. government. Went to this conference. Came home with three boxes of floppy disks. Remember floppy disks? Some of you have seen them in a museum. Well, floppy disks, and it, everything was decentralized, which it still is, but the internet was not used in the way it's used today. I looked at this. I looked at our business. I looked at the opportunity costs. I said, I'm going to need a full-time or a couple full-time employees to do this. And right now, I wasn't willing to make that investment, even though I knew it had a huge upside. Could I kick myself? Yes, but that's all right. We make decisions at the time and we make them. And, you know, those are the decisions we made. We can learn from that. I made the executive decision not to move forward with that. Today, do I look back and I say, gosh, it would have been better if I had made another decision? Yes. Did I make the decision I made? Yes. Am I going to invest any more time and energy on it than I have during this show so far? No. The lesson is that sometimes the expansion into of investing significant resources into something with a high potential really is worth it. So, it was just too much. It was so decentralized. It was huge. It was vast. It was cumbersome. And I want to tell you something. You know, 17 years later, it looks very different. It looks very different. When we come back, we're going to talk about simple steps to start and resources that can help you navigate the path to doing business with the largest purchaser of goods and services in the United States. I don't care how much tightening is going on. Depending on your product or service, you may be stumbling upon an exponential growth opportunity for your business when we come back from break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kurt Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and enjoy a better workplace and a better life. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back. And we're going to discuss now doing business with the federal government. And I refer to the U.S. federal government for those of us who are spread out across the planet listening right now. Yet, listen through how this could be relevant to you and where the opportunities exist in terms of your nation. Where are the opportunities that could that could resemble this. So there's a lot of different companies that exist out there, some of them not-for-profit, Some of them are free, and some of them will charge you to help you navigate this process. You've got to consider your resources and what works for you. Something I highly recommend is to deal with the Small Business Administration, the SBA. Now, they have a lot of great resources to help small businesses that are looking to do business with the U.S. government. Now, when I say small business, some of you are listening and you're like, well, I'm bigger than a small business. This is by the Small Business Administration standards of what a small business is. So, for example, I believe in construction, it means that you have under 1,500 employees. Okay? There are certain actually specifications as to what distinguishes a small business from a business that does not qualify as a small business. And that's important for you to sort out in terms of your specific product or service or business in terms of industry sector. Now, what's so neat about the SBA is that they have a lot of great resources that navigate you, and it's all free. However, that doesn't mean that there aren't other great resources to use. Now, the SBA has certain certification programs in terms of whether you qualify, minority-owned, veteran business. Actually, you know, there's wonderful resources available for veterans in terms of business opportunities. Now, this doesn't mean there's a job to find, although that could be a component of it, but if you have your own business, there are some excellent contracting opportunities, and there's also loans. There's loans for everyone through the SBA if you meet the requirements. One of the requirements is that you've had to have been in business for 2 years. That's not all the loans. That's what is called a basic 7A loan. And by the way, if you want more information on this or some of the resources we're mentioning, please email Jen, J-E-N-N, at jensabin.com, and we'll get back to you with resources if you're looking for them for a specific region. This is a really great tool. And GMG is moving forward with this as well. So we're in tandem here. Tandem. Why did that come out so difficult? So this isn't about, like, you know, standing on top of the mountain and speaking, you know, in terms of I've arrived. In this area, my company is still working on mastering it, right? So I'm sharing the journey with you. And for some of you, you may be already contracting with the government and working in that arena. And doing successfully so. And we'd love to hear your stories. We'd love to hear your experiences, some tips for you. Although we are going to have some people who specialize this on our show later in spring, and I'll give everyone a heads up as to when the specific date for that. But there are many loans which are actually called the SBA Loan Guarantee program. So you may even be able to get a loan. Where my daughter goes to school, my daughter is 3, and where she goes to school, one of the parents, he just secured as a veteran a loan to support a lease for a retail space that he's going to be having his business in. And part of what gave him the ability to get that lease was a veteran loan through the SBA. So, literally, that was in the past 2 weeks that he signed the lease and got the loan. So this is not this happened then. This is a now phenomenon and resource. So we're back to the SBA. So what do you do? So for those of you who are like, get to the point, Jen. So you may qualify for some of the SBA programs. Minority, disadvantaged, hub zone, that's a demographic place in terms of if where you live is considered to be at an economic disadvantage, or if your offices are there, or if a certain percentage of your employees. What is it? Why would I want to get certified? Well, in the bidding process, there's an opportunity for certified companies for some of the bids to have an opportunity to bid have open bid for certified companies, and then it goes open bid. So there's a window of opportunity where you have a chance to raise your hand and say, I think we are the best fit for this particular contract. The other thing that if you do not have is you need a DUNS number. A Dun & Bradstreet number, it's www.dnb.com, and that is really an important number for the government and for a multitude of purposes in the contracting arena. Okay? So you need a DUNS number. It doesn't cost you anything. They may, and Dun & Bradstreet, yay, remember a business is the sale or purchase of goods and services with an attempt to make a profit. Well, DUNS numbers don't cost anything. However, they have other products and services that they will offer you with the DUNS number. You do not have to take them to get a DUNS number, okay, to have a Dun & Bradstreet number. So in order to do business with the federal government, you need a DUNS number, and that's www.dnb.com, and you can get a DUNS number. It does not cost you money to get it, and they do sell other products and services, okay? So I just want that to be clear. Is that clear? Did I just sound like a school marm? Really, you know, that was so demonstrative in terms of, you know, that you do not have to pay for this. The other thing that you're going to need is to register with the government central contractor registration database, the CCR. Okay, so to be awarded any federal contract, you need to be registered in the CCR. And to find out more about that and to learn more about that, it's www.ccr.gov. Okay? Now, those are two very, very basic things. I'm going to shift gears and tell you, because this is one of the people we're going to have with us. I'm so excited about this particular show, because this is not just this introduction to doing business with the government. These are the people who live it every day. There is an incredible organization called PTAC, and I could sense and see and feel some of you saying, oh, yes, PTAC. PTAC is the Procurement Technical Assistance Center program. It's a Procurement Technical Assistance Center, but it's part of a program. And what these people who are PTAC specialists, Procurement Technical Assistance Center specialists, PTAC specialists, their job is to work with small business owners to help them navigate the labyrinth of contracting with the government. How much does it cost to meet with them and work with a PTAC specialist? Oh, that would be nothing. Nothing. What's the catch? There is no catch. By the way, this is where some of our tax dollars go. This is a program that exists, and it's actually part of, I believe, the Department of Defense, but it doesn't mean that they just help you contract with the Department of Defense. This is a part something that exists that was designed to help the small business owner navigate the labyrinth. So remember when I say I went to Virginia and I went to this huge, vast procurement conference, and I walked out of there literally, I kept having to shuttle back to the car and come back with boxes of floppy disks and papers and books, etc. I mean, it looked like, if anyone in here has ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones at the end, when they're going through kind of the, where everything is archived in the museum. That's what it felt like, that I was left with so much stuff. That, and that this exists now, I am telling you, is an exquisite thing. Here's the deal. If you're not even sure about this, before you even do any of these other things, go and talk to someone. Go and talk to them. They're, now, they don't do the work for you. they don't, you still have to do the work. We still have to do the work. We either us or somebody in our team or whatever it is, we still have to do the work and the research. However, this is what they do. This is what they know. And I promise you, that is invaluable. In many ways, you can consider it like a mentor slash advisor. They're not going to do the work, but they know where we could get samples or emails, or when it comes to the contracting process, how to fill things out. They've lived it, and they care, and they're rooting for you. They are. They're great. When we come back, we're going to hear more about contracting with the federal government.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G. and Jenny Frumer? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G. and Jenny Frumer airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams? Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello, and welcome back. And we're talking about the 101 of doing business with the federal government. We started out talking a bit about social media and following up on last week, but we're looking today at some of the basics of doing business with the federal government. I did receive an email from a listener, thank you, who clarified something for me, that what I refer to as certifications is also small business procurement programs, and that is the 8A program set aside, Hub Zone program, women-owned small business, etc. So there's all these, there are procurement programs that exist and there are certifications. Well, didn't I say this could be confusing? And this is at its most simplified, right? What you and I basically need to know is that there's two types of contracting. That there's prime contracting, which means you own the contract, and then there's also subcontracting, which means that a larger company holds a contract and you get to work on a piece of it. So those are really the two pathways to doing business with the federal government. So what have we talked about so far? You need a DMB number. Now, some of you have been in business for a while, and you're great, and you're good at what you do, but you haven't needed a DMB number. There's been no reason, a Dun & Bradstreet number. So it doesn't cost anything. Get one. Registering on the CCR is you need to be registered there to do business with the federal government. We mentioned PTAC. That's P-T-A-C is the acronym. And they're also part of the Small Business Development Centers very often. I don't know if they're always in tandem. The SBDC, which usually you find at universities. I don't know if they always are at universities. Great, great resource. You know, other great resources are things like SCORE, who are retired executives that help businesses. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a small business. You could be a medium-sized business. There's a full spectrum here. There's a full spectrum. There's something else that is important for you to look at, and that is to find out, does the government utilize your product or service, right? And where you could find that out, because everything with the government is done through codes. You could imagine that it all has to be very structured and formal. Do you want to understand, you want to know an infrastructure that perhaps has turned into a quagmire, but, you know, an infrastructure where everything is classified and systematized is in the government. And they have something called NAICS codes. And NAICS codes are actually N-A-I-S-C-S. Well, N-A-I-C. And that is the North American Industry Classification System, NAICS. And you can Google it. Remember we talked about Google the first part of the show? Like that is the primary resource for finding things, including products, services, your business, who you are, right? So or it could be Bing, whatever you want. Look up the NAICS codes and go through it. And I promise you, this thing is pages and 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 pages. And I will say again, pages and pages and pages. Like, you will scroll through this thing and you will see the NAICS code for the product or service your business offers. Now, don't just presume that there would be only one code. There are multiple codes that your NAICS code could potentially cover. So there's then the next step for all this, but this is the place to begin, because here's the part that is presents some of the challenge. The market, the federal government. Now, there's also state and local. By the way, I'm talking federal, but there's state and local. Oh, my gosh. How remiss am I? You could start out locally. Actually, that's a very smart place to begin. And from there, you can go to state and federal. Okay, federal would be kind of like the Olympics of all of this, right? And so you're starting in local competitions, working your way to the Olympics, getting to the Super Bowl, if you will, or the World Cup. There is... In small governments, there may be a couple people who do purchasing, and that's who would actually determine if, you know, who you'd go through in terms of the process of offering your product or service. Before you go or talk to anyone, do your research, look up the website, see if they use your product or service. And actually, if they don't, you can call up and ask, this is a product, do you use this? I didn't see it on your website. Because maybe it might be something that is below the numerical cutoff line where they post it, and it's something because it, and go open bid. Okay. Now, so I'm saying the federal government, but you could start local and then go national in terms of that. The thing about all of this, though, local government is much more concentrated depending on where you live. I mean, the local government of New York is very different than a small town in somewhere else, right? There's different resources and there's different products and services that they need. Local might be a really smart place to begin. And yet for your business, your company, where you are, it might be federal. Right? So this isn't the quote unquote place to go with it, but this is, have you considered it? Have you considered doing business with the largest purchaser of goods and services in the United States? Right? So the piece of it is here is that there's pre-work to do to determine. There's research. There's due diligence, as Joe Blackwell Preston, who was on, I believe it was the Daring to Grow show that we hosted with Thomas Berger. You've got to do your due diligence. And I think it was the government did $324 billion with small businesses last year. I think it was $324 billion. Do you think there's some room in there for your product or service? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to do your due diligence to find out if locally they're using your product or service? If, and that you could become a vendor in contract with the government on a local, on a state, or on a federal level. Now, for some of you, you know, you might want more. You might want more. If you do, email us and we'll send you some resources. For others, this has just opened up something to consider, and you might be like, well, not now. Like I was in the 90s. It just wasn't the time. For whatever reason, for whatever those, you know, that I decided it wasn't the time, and we weren't going to diffuse our energy, time, and resources because we were, in that fact, really going out into the global marketplace, and that was where our energy was concentrated. So it's your call. But at least you're in a position now to choose. Maybe it's something you never considered. Maybe you thought about it a while ago, and now it's time to dust off that idea and bring it back into the fresh air. $324 billion, I believe, is the correct number. That's a lot of money. And it's certainly, there is, you know, my father used to say to me, there's always room for another taxi on the street. So be careful of the presumptions you make, and it does take effort. The government, especially the federal government, is completely decentralized. So you're going to each agency, and each agency has its own procurement specialist. A lot of doing business with the government is, and I love this, old school marketing, building relationships, not just through social media vehicles, but through conversations. It's connecting. And that's my terra firma. It's something, you know, I enjoy. Now, for each and every one of you, our commitment on moving forward is about your business growing, and growing now and today, and sustainable, scalable growth to increase your cash flow, to be more profitable, and to just really be engaged in what you do at the level of you know, our guests who come on this show, you know, proud and inspired, one might say. Well, I'll get off my soapbox, and thank you so much for being a part of our show, and for everyone, your feedback, your comments, you know, the stories, please continue to send them in there, and you know that how much you are appreciated. And for all our listeners this week, make this week a moving forward week. Take care, everyone.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Sabin again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a moving forward week.